Rapids, and always streaming on the Civic Media app.
This is CBS News on the Hour, sponsored by O'Reilly Auto Parts.
I'm Matt Piper. Israelis have been attacked in Amsterdam. 57 people have now been arrested after reports of rioting breaking out when several groups of people chanted pro-Palestinian slogans at Israeli fans of a soccer match. Reporter Linda Gradstein has the latest.
Israel is sending planes to rescue Israelis in Amsterdam after groups of Israelis were attacked as they left a soccer stadium where an Israeli team, Maccabi Tel Aviv, had played. Israel's National Security Council called on Israelis in Amsterdam to avoid traveling within the city, stay in their hotel rooms, and change their travel plans to return sooner.
President-elect Donald Trump has named Susie Wiles as his White House chief of staff. It comes as his transition team is mapping out policy plans while considering options for key cabinet positions, including Elon Musk. CBS's Robert Costa.
Musk has promised to help Trump overhaul the entire federal government.
We're going to get the government off your back and out of your pocketbook.
Near the top of Trump's agenda, an extension of the Trump tax cuts, deregulation across federal agencies, and sweeping trade tariffs on certain goods.
Officials in several states are condemning racist text messages that were sent to black residents after the election. The messages said they had been selected for cotton picking. CBS's Laura Doan.
We tracked down people in dozens of states who said that they received these. People in Alabama, Texas, Maryland, Pennsylvania, multiple states in the U.S., and also called the numbers that sent these texts. They were sent from numbers and area codes in at least 25 different states.
Authorities in Wisconsin say school staff have prevented what could have been a school shooting Thursday. CBS's Jennifer Kuiper.
A 13-year-old showed up at a Kenosha, Wisconsin elementary school, tried to open doors that had been locked, and when he was buzzed in, had a backpack and a large duffel bag. Kenosha Police Chief Patrick Patton says the boy ran off when school staff tried to speak with him.
We believe that this was actually an armed suspect with a firearm.
Kenosha police say they've discovered that he had done multiple online searches related to school shootings.
Thousands are still evacuating in Ventura County, California. About 21,000 acres have burned in the so-called Mountain Fire. Rachel Kim with CBS News, Los Angeles.
72-year-old Greg Howard couldn't hold back the tears looking at his Camarillo Heights home of 21 years reduced to rubble in minutes. He evacuated with his wife and dogs Wednesday morning and returned to find the house and everything inside destroyed.
My wife has just crushed every memento that you ever had. Kids' schoolwork and things like that. It's all in there.
It's gone. Everything. I mean... family memories.
At least 132 structures have been destroyed. This is CBS News.
Think O'Reilly Auto Parts for all your car care needs. Get the parts and service you need fast from the professional parts people at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
More good news for you. Community Stories Junior starts November 14th. It'll air on WFHR on Thursdays from 5 to 6 with me, your host, Melissa Kay.
The Bucks finally get a win. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. The Bucks snapped a six-game losing streak with a 123-100 win over the Jazz. How bad did the Bucks need this victory at home over a young 1-6 Utah Jazz team? Damian Lillard.
I think we needed it bad, desperately. You know, this is a team that came in with the same record as us, a struggling team, a much younger team than us. They coming on our home floor, so, you know, it was important for us to not only get off that six-game losing streak and feel something good, but going into this next stretch of games, you know, I think it was important for us to get back in the win column.
The Bucks are in Madison Square Garden tonight against the New York Knicks. College hoops, a 79-67 win for Wisconsin over the Montana State Bobcats. Head coach Greg Gard.
A good win against a good team that's experienced. You could really tell the maturity of the older guys for them on the floor. Anytime we made a mistake on a screen, it was a three in the first half. Those things will help us.
That's the Badgers head coach Greg Gard. With sports, I'm Mike Clemens.
On your entertainment beat, I'm Pete Schwabba. After signing a multi-picture deal with Lionsgate, Taylor Sheridan is turning out TV shows at an alarming rate, such as Tulsa King, Yellowstone, The Mayor of Kingstown, 1883, 1923, and Lioness. Lioness in particular just became the fourth biggest premiere on Paramount+. The show found its way into 3 million homes in the first 7 days of its release a couple weeks ago. The show stars Zoe Saldana, Nicole Kidman, Morgan Freeman, and Michael Kelly, and is supposedly based on the CIA's actual Lioness program. If you like high-powered weapons, weaponry, military jargon, and lots of gunfire, this is the show for you. Warner Brothers Discovery is reporting that its streaming or direct-to-consumer service is booming as its theatrical business declines. The studio says it's gained over 7 million subscribers in the third quarter alone for this year, according to Screen Daily. This is the biggest gain ever for subscribers that has been reported since the launch of Max in 2020. Everyone is chasing Netflix. For more showbiz fun, tune into Nightlight with me, Pete Schwabe, weeknights from 6 to 8 p.m. on the Civic Media Radio Network.
This is your hometown radio, refreshed, keeping you informed, entertained, and connected locally across the Civic Media Network.
I'm meteorologist Rodney Price. Mostly clear, gusty west winds of the overnight, lows of the mid-30s. For your Friday sunshine, the winds back down, highs in the mid-50s. A few clouds Friday night, partly sunny, lower 50s on Saturday, showers Saturday night. It's 39 at our studios.
Pat Kreitlow.
Friday, we start the first weekend without a Packer game in a while, but also the first weekend without political ads in a long time, plus Brittany Merlot's weekend forecast.
Up North News with Pat Kreitlow. Weekday mornings starting at 6. You're listening to locally grown radio, WFHR.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
Good morning and welcome to Matinair on Air. Jane Matinair, Greg Bach, and Calvin Butenhoff coming to you live from our studio at Radio Park in Racine, Wisconsin. You can always join us, call or text at 855-752-4842. Leave a comment if you're watching on the live stream on Facebook, YouTube, and the platform that used to be Twitter. Coming up at 11:20, Brittany Merlot, Civic Media meteorologist, will be here to update us on the forecast. Beautiful day right now. If you have the chance to get outside, go take a breath, go touch some grass.
Yeah, and we're going to talk about that with Brittany Merlot later.
Yeah, a little bit. Yeah, it really is a lovely day. And then at 11:33, Joseph Pecky, political consultant, will be here to wrap up the final half hour with more takeaways from the results of the Tuesday election. So we switched things around a little bit this morning. The Acme Packing Company's Paul Noonan joining us now to talk all things sports balls. Where should we start, Paul? Because it seems like, no matter what direction I look at, it's kind of painful.
Yeah. If ever we've needed a football game, this would be the weekend, but we do not have one. The Packers are both on a bye and also just lost to, you know, one of their bigger division rivals in the Detroit Lions, and didn't play particularly well in doing so. That's probably as good a place to start as any. They lost because they're sloppy, and they've been sloppy all season. The Packers have looked like a talented team many, many times. Their underlying advanced stats are quite good, but they just keep shooting themselves in the foot. They commit a ton of penalties. They're sixth in the league in penalties called against them. Jordan Love keeps throwing at least one completely boneheaded interception a game. He threw one this last weekend. He almost threw two. He was very close to having another one down near the end zone. And the receivers just can't hold on to the ball. They keep they drop a ton. Dontayvion Wicks is the worst defender, but even Jaden Reed, who is their best receiver this year, is dropping one out of every six of his targets. Hit him in the hands and it goes down. So they're also quite injured, but they need to clean these things up if they're going to actually contend with a team like the Lions, who dropped no passes and committed half as many penalties and you know, just generally speaking, played a very crisp game in the rain, whereas the Packers were falling all over themselves. So good time for the bye, but man, it was rough.
I've seen some complaints about the special teams coach and how much money, how much money he's making and how terrible our special teams are.
So that's all fair. Rich Bisaccia is their special teams coach, and he is one of the he might be the highest paid special teams coach. I don't know if anybody's passed him recently, but he has a great reputation as a special teams coordinator. He has often coordinated the best special teams in the league, but they really seem to have a problem getting it together on the Packers. I will say I think they're a little better this year, and Detroit's, by the way, their special teams is excellent. Part of the problem with the Packers is injuries have pushed a lot of special teams players into starting roles while Bisaccia has been here. And he's not the one who signed. Well, he's technically not the one who signs field goal kickers. He is the one who is probably responsible for getting Anders Carlson, who has been long disposed of. But I do think they've improved. Daniel Whelan's a great punter. I think that was a out of the park hit there. But yeah, Rich has probably paid a little too much for the production they're getting. It's not great. By and large, though, I do think that they are a team that is creative to a fault and do need to crack the whip a little bit more on just execution things. They're really, the contrast with the Lions was really, really stark, where the Lions were just, everybody was lined up every single time. Nobody moved early, like at all in any snaps. And the Packers they also had some offensive line issues. Josh Myers missed this game. Elton Jenkins was playing center for the first time starting in a while and had a few bad snaps in the rain. It messes with chemistry. But they need to get better at doing the little things correctly going forward. It's their one big weakness. They've been pretty good at everything else. They could use a little bit of help at edge rusher, but other than everybody's got a problem. Other than that, it's just beating themselves. If they stop beating themselves, they'll beat pretty much everybody else. So they need to really whip themselves into shape over the bye week and do a lot of technical work and use the time they have not game planning to actually fix some of these issues.
I was about to ask him a question. He answered it right there. So I'm good to go. All right. Thanks, Paul.
Well, it just feels like they're making a lot of rookie mistakes and they're not playing like a team.
To some extent, that's expected. They're very, very young.
Yeah. But
this is also the kind of thing that the Matt LaFleur is in charge of overall strategy. Their position coaches are the ones that are supposed to be drilling execution during practice and they need to be doing a better job of that. Well, and young players, sure, they're not experienced, but the fundamentals are one of the things that's really emphasized in college. Yes, they're not on the same page. They're young, but these are I would say more lazy veteran mistakes than they are young rookie mistakes. The drops is a different thing. Like Dontavian Wicks has had problems with drops off and on his entire career, including in college. That's something that they need to drill into him a little bit more. But like the illegal motion stuff and the jumping early stuff, like that's stuff that everybody should be good at, even when you just enter the league. That's the easiest single thing to clean up here.
Well, I think something that's in, looking at the team this year, everyone wrote them off last season because they were so new and Jordan Love was not untested, but not a starter game day player at that point. So I feel like all the things that they're doing this season is what people expected of them last season to get themselves together. And then on this season, those problems would have been worked out, but they got so good so fast and just blew everyone away that I feel like maybe this season is where they're going to be making those mistakes to tie them up and go for a better second half of 2024, or we're looking at next season just for a sharper, tighter team.
Yeah, and entirely possible. And some of this is probably expected. And they probably got a little lucky last year with people getting it together very quickly. And some regression was probably expected. But the one thing I think that will help, no matter what, is health. Like if they get their normal starters back, that will clean up some of this. And more than anything, if Jordan Love can actually take these 2 weeks to get himself a little healthier, so he's made bad decisions for sure, but his throws have also been sailing on him. His lower body is definitely not all there. That groin injury, I'm not sure how smart it was to start him last week, honestly.
I agree.
I thought that it would have been a good spot to give Malik Willis one more shot. Just take another week, going into the bye to get Love actually healthy, especially given that it was, always projected to rain on Sunday. It was likely going to be like a run heavy game no matter what. It's personally what I would have done. I know that doesn't really happen in the NFL. If guys are cleared to play, they play. But he can't throw as well as normal. Like it's actually impacting his ability to make throws. They're fluttering on him. He can't power it in there like he normally can. And that saves him sometimes on his bad decisions. Sometimes he can gun it in there like Brett Favre used to, like just rifle the head.
Right.
Sometimes it gets through. It's a problem. And until he's physically right, he's going to keep probably making mistakes like this. He leads the NFL in interceptions with 10, even though he's played two fewer games than everybody else has. And it's worth noting that while Jordan Love has definitely had his highs, that he did lead college football in interceptions his final year. It's not like this is unprecedented for him. He was great last year, but this is a thing that has affected him for as long as he's been playing high-level football.
If you're just joining us, Paul Noonan is our guest. He's with the Acme Packing Company, and we're talking all things sports. Let's turn our attention to the Brewers, Paul.
Yep, the offseason for baseball is in high gear with the World Series being over. The Brewers are making decisions on who to tender, who to pick up options on, and who to send to arbitration. They declined, first of all, most importantly, they declined Devin Williams' option and are going to argue with him. They think they can save about $2 million by doing so. This will, however, tick Devin Williams off again.
Oh, great. Nothing better than a Brewers-Devin Williams fight for the season.
Well, I think, and a lot of pundits think this too, that it's almost a sure thing that Devin Williams is traded after this happens. Honestly, everybody's a professional, but ticking off Devin Williams and then planning on playing Devin Williams is just not a good idea. You don't want to do that. And so they're getting to the point where he's going to get too expensive for the Brewers anyway. And I think that they're almost certainly going to move on from him shortly. The one thing the Brewers are outstanding at is creating pitchers who throw great for an inning and a half. And so,
oh boy.
Yeah. And so it's not like we don't have replacements ready to go for Devin Williams. There are a lot of them already on the team. They'll have Jacob Mizrowski and Craig Yoho probably on the team next year from AAA or AA. I think maybe one of them was still at. But they've moved on from him. Colin Ray was also waived. They did not pick up his $5.5 million option. Kind of surprising. I feel like that's actually pretty much under market for a guy like Colin Ray, who's not a great pitcher, but is a good innings eater that, frankly, the Brewers were kind of running out of towards the end of the year. But he is free to seek other options. They did not pick up Frankie Montez's much, much larger option. That was much less.
Was it 21 million?
It was 21 million. he got that when he was better. And to his credit,
21
he
million.
Really did kind of turn himself around with us, but he's not worth that much money. That is correct.
Yeah.
They also did not exercise Gary Sanchez's option. I think there's a puncher's chance he's back at a lower deal, but probably not. I think they're pretty happy with Eric Haas as backup catcher, and they'll probably go something along the lines of that route. If it's not Haas, it'll be somebody like him. So the Brewers haven't added anybody, but they're moving on from quite a few so far. And all of them make sense, but they're kind of a cheap team. And it's sad when they move on from talented people like Devin Williams.
In the about minute and a half we have left, what is going on with our Bucks? It's painful.
It's painful. Last time I was here, they'd won a game and looked good doing it, and they haven't done anything like that since. The Bucks to me look like a team of players who don't believe that they can actually come together and win games, and so have decided to all go and get their own in every game, get their own individual stats, get their own individual numbers, and not play together as a team. They're a mess. I mean, the Bucks are an old team, and sometimes this is what happens with old teams. They're not deep. Injuries derail them immediately. Chris Middleton is not back, and they're a lot of speculation that he's not going to be back for a while. Still, ankles are not good injuries to have. And they've traded so much for depth to have stars that they lack depth. I think this might just be the long downward spiral for an old team that is now well past its prime.
Paul Noonan from the Acme Packing Company. On that happy note, we were going to move on. Thank you so much, Paul. We'll see you in 2 weeks.
Sounds good. Thanks,
stay close. Brittany Merlot, Weather and Wine on the way next. You're listening to Matt Nair on air on the Civic Media Radio Network.
This is locally grown radio, WFHR. The Maggie Dawn Show.
It is absolutely disgusting for conservatives to suggest that because someone is poor or struggling, that they lack judgment. If anybody needs morality policing, it's rich folks, for crying out loud, not people who are struggling to put food on the table and keep a roof over their heads.
The Maggie Dawn Show, weekdays from 2 till 4 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app.
Not completing high school is more of a social thing than it was an academic thing. Even though all these years have passed, I still had that longing to have my diploma.
At age 30, Carissa finished her high school diploma.
If you're even considering getting your high school diploma, you can do it.
No one gets a diploma alone. If you're thinking of finishing your high school diploma, you have help. Find free adult education classes near you at finishyourdiploma.org. That's finishyourdiploma.org. Brought to you by the Dollar General Literacy Foundation and the Ad Council.
The Todd Alba Show.
Managing editor of E-Bombs World, Mr. Peter Rapine.
Google this week released a new product, the new AI overview. If you Google search, can I use gasoline to cook spaghetti? Google says, no, you can't use it to cook spaghetti, but you can use gasoline to make spicy spaghetti dishes.
Not recommended. Do not do that.
The Todd Alba Show, weekdays noon till 2 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app.
It's easy to listen to your favorite local radio station anytime. Download the Civic Media app from the Apple or Google Play Store, then listen live or whenever you want from anywhere for free.
We've all felt left out. And for people who move to this country, that feeling lasts more than a moment. We can change that. Learn how at belongingbeginswithus.org. Brought to you by the Ad Council.
You're listening to locally grown radio, WFHR, home for the Todd Alba Show.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
Scott?
Good morning and welcome back to Matinair on Air. Jane Matinair, Greg Bach, Calviente on the board, coming to you from our studio at Radio Park in Racine. Join us. You can call, you can text 855-752-4842. Leave a comment on the live stream on Facebook, YouTube, and the platform that Elon continues to actively ruin. She joins us Thursdays, usually at this time, sometimes not at this time. She's very flexible. Civic Media meteorologist Brittany Merlot. It's time for a little weather and wine. Good morning, Brittany. It is a beautiful day here in Racine. What is it like? You're in Wausau. What's it like there?
Oh, just as beautiful. Honestly, it's so nice to finally see the sun shining. I don't know about you, but I needed that.
Yes.
Yeah.
It's helping my mood. And it's funny because I've always called a high pressure system a happy high pressure system to try to get people to remember that's associated with sunshine. And I'm just so happy.
How long are we going to have this? Because again, we're still way above normal temperatures, aren't we?
We sure are, at about anywhere from 5 to 15 degrees above normal, depending where you are exactly. And we're going to get warmer tomorrow. We're going to be pushing temperatures near 60 for a lot of us. So, you know, it'll be nice. Soak it up. Enjoy it. Because I am looking at the extended outlook. And while we're looking at our weather apps, it looks pretty consistent, right?
Right.
But not for long. I'm telling you, as soon as about the 15th, 16th kind of time frame, we are looking at a shot of cold pushing in, and it kind of stays that way. The jet stream shifts, and we could be seeing snow patterns pushing in instead of rain patterns.
My husband looked at me last weekend, and he said, is the grass ever going to stop growing? Can I stop mowing the lawn? Because he's still mowing it on a weekly basis because it's been so mild.
Yeah, no, I get it. I kind of like the smell of fresh grass, but I've had it too.
Like, I'm done. Can you stop it?
I've become that guy in the neighborhood. I stopped mowing a little while ago and everyone else is still mowing. And I'm like, you guys just wait for the snow to cover it up and see you next. No, I'm mowing it probably this weekend.
You're probably going to have to this weekend.
It's gotten out of control. But you, Brittany, you said happy high pressure system and how the sun is really like helping. You were talking to us about earlier, mental health and how the weather can help you and how this can, you know, especially right now, picking spirits up. And you wanted to discuss that.
Well, yeah, I mean, we've got the election anxiety and then we've got our shorter days, right? We did the whole time change this weekend as well. And we're all trying to adjust to that. And I just wanted to really point out and stress Try to wake up earlier. Try to get up with that sunrise. Get outside. Take a walk, whether it be before work, on your lunch, maybe afterwards, anytime that you can. If the sun is out, please try to soak it up because, you know, that vitamin D obviously helps you, the sun on your skin, the fresh breeze, the fresh air, and it just clears your mind, I think. So I just really want people to remember that we're battling a few things right now and we're all in this together. You know, seasonal affective disorder, that's a thing. Depression becomes a thing with the longer nights, the more dark. I mean, we're getting off of work and it's dark.
Yeah.
That's hard to deal with sometimes. So for your lunch, go outside, enjoy the sunshine while it's out here because not every weekend's going to be bright and beautiful. Like this weekend, we have more rain rolling in, which means more clouds when we're off of work. So
naturally, we get the beautiful weather during the week and then the weekends are...
Yep.
It's a technical term.
Yeah, that's a meteorological term.
Yes, it is.
Words are tricky. I had this problem yesterday. Wording effectively.
Oh man, yeah. I'm thinking about all those days we get out of here and it's a rainy day. You're like, I'm just gonna go home and take a nap. And now you're gonna be like, I'm probably gonna go for a walk today. That's a really good idea because you're right. Very heavy week, very, very heavy, going through a lot of things together. As you said, we're going through it together, but even a 10, 15 minute walk, got a pet, take him for a walk. A dog, maybe don't take your turtle for a walk, but yeah, I'm probably going to take my dog for a nice long walk today.
Well, and I think it's important too. And I know people like to listen to podcasts and things if they go outside and they walk and everything. And I get that, but I also think it's important to be in the place, to be in the moment and mm-hmm. listen to the birds and listen to the whatever is going on in your neighborhood. Or I just think sometimes it's really important to unplug from everything and just be.
Yes,
I agree. And you know what? It's a commonality that we can all talk about. The weather, right? It's been a thing forever. So get out there, see what's going on. Talk about that. You know what I mean? And there's also, if you're a weather nerd like me, I know Jane, you are, right?
I am.
I like the
weather.
Do you
know what Coco Roz is? Coco Roz.
Coco Roz?
Sounds like food, doesn't it?
No, it sounds like something a resident young person would say. Like, that's so Coco Roz.
Coco Roz.
It is now.
I like it. Yeah, right? Hashtag Coco Roz.
Right.
It's a community collaborative rain, hail, and snow network. So if you're looking for something to do to take your mind off stuff, you can actually help us meteorologists and scientists. All you do is put a rain gauge outside and every single morning record it. It goes into our stats and our data,
love that.
And I get to see it. And this is how I tell you guys how much rain Wisconsin got. So you can be a part of it and help out and just, I don't know, do something else.
Channel some energy. Channel a little energy. So how do they do this again, Brittany?
Oh, you just hop online, COCORAHS. It'll come up. You real quick registration form. You could actually order a rain gauge right on there. You're registered, put it outside, start taking measurements. You're good to go.
That sounds so Coco Roz.
It's Coco Roz, baby. It's a Coco Roz kind of moment, you know?
We're having it.
And we need it. We need them.
We do need them. Yeah. It's important to still laugh.
Yes.
It is important to still find moments of joy.
Mm-hmm.
We're going to keep going. We're going to keep fighting. May have lost the battle. Doesn't mean the war is over.
Not at all.
Nope.
The fight continues. And we'll get through it together.
Of course.
Reach out to a friend. Reach out to a neighbor. You're not alone in this.
That's something Tanya Atkinson talked about before is I think if you reach out to a friend and ask them how they're doing, they're going to ask you how you're doing. And you take that moment to connect, even if it's for a text or two or a phone call.
Yep.
It makes you feel better.
Absolutely. Look for the helpers.
Yep.
We're all helpers right now. We can all be helpers right now. Brittany Merlot is Civic Media's meteorologist. She joins us every week for a little weather and wine. Thank you so much, Brittany. We will see you next week and go Coco Roz, baby.
Yeah.
News is next. Stay with us. You're listening to Matt Nair on air. This is the Civic Media Radio Network.
Locally grown radio, WFHR.
CBS News Brief. Israeli Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu has sent two rescue planes to the Netherlands after clashes in Amsterdam. Reporter Linda Gradstein.
Groups of Israelis were attacked as they left a soccer stadium. Israelis in Amsterdam said the ambushes were planned with attackers waiting for them at various points in the city.
Immigration was one of the top policies Americans say they cared about when they voted for president this week. And CBS's Robert Costa reports it's one of the top agenda items in the new Trump presidency.
Trump's team is preparing executive orders, with longtime aide Stephen Miller leading talks on how to execute Trump's plan to deport over 11 million undocumented immigrants.
Offensive texts have been sent to black people nationwide following the election. CBS's Laura Doan.
The messages, which have almost identical language, essentially told recipients, we want to say that these are offensive messages, that they had been, quote, selected for cotton picking.
CBS News Brief. I'm Matt Piper.
You can always continue the conversation on social media. Share your thoughts when you find and follow Civic Media on Facebook, X, and Instagram.
The Bucks finally get a win. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. The Bucks snapped a six-game losing streak with a 123-100 win over the Jazz. How bad did the Bucks need this victory at home over a young 1-6 Utah Jazz team? Damian Lillard.
I think we needed it bad, desperately. You know, this is a team that came in with the same record as us, a struggling team, a much younger team than us. They coming on our home floor, so, you know, it was important for us to not only get off that six-game losing streak and feel something good, but going into this next stretch of games, you know, I think it was important for us to get back in the win column.
The Bucks are in Madison Square Garden tonight against the New York Knicks. College hoops, a 79-67 win for Wisconsin over the Montana State Bobcats. Head coach Greg Gard.
Good win against a good team that's experienced. You could really tell the maturity of the older guys for them on the floor. Anytime we made a mistake on a screen, it was a three in the first half. Those things will help us.
That's the Badgers head coach Greg Gard. With sports, I'm Mike Clemens.
Enjoying this local program? Find the complete Civic Media lineup at civicmedia.us or the Civic Media app.
On your entertainment beat, I'm Pete Schwabba. Thinking about heading to the theater this weekend? Here are some films that might be up your alley. Hugh Grant stars in Heretic, a film about two young missionaries who knock on the wrong door and end up fighting for their lives in a house owned by the nefarious Mr. Reed, played by Grant. The film is getting mad reviews at 94% on Rotten Tomatoes. Check out another film in wide release this week called Weekend in Taipei. It has kind of a Mr. and Mrs. Smith feel to it, but reviews are very mediocre so far. If you want to get a jump start on your holiday movie watching, you have two choices. Best Christmas Pageant Ever is being released wide and pulling in 86% on Rotten Tomatoes, but has a 100% favorable audience score. Another Christmas film in limited release this weekend is Christmas Eve in Miller's Point, a comedy drama starring Michael Cera and Elsie Fisher, where a family descends on their home for the final time. The film is currently getting an 86% on Rotten Tomatoes. If you're scoring at home, that sounds like four winners to me, so let's go to the movies. For more showbiz fun, tune in to Nightlight with me, Pete Schwabba, weeknights from 6 to 8 p.m. on the Civic Media Radio Network.
I'm meteorologist Rodney Price. Mostly clear, gusty west winds of the overnight, lows in the mid-30s. For your Friday sunshine, the winds back down, highs in the mid-50s. A few clouds Friday night, partly sunny, lower 50s on Saturday, showers Saturday night. Right now it's 37.
Hey everybody, glad you could join us. I'm Tim Hubbelt, better known as the Polka Guy, on the Sunshine Polka Party Variety Show.
Join Tim every Saturday and Sunday for a great variety of polkas, waltzes, and more. Wake up at 7 a.m. on Saturday morning to get the weekend started on the right foot, then enjoy a lively Sunday afternoon at 1 p.m. Same great show, two different times, one fun weekend. The Sunshine Polka Party Variety Show, 7 a.m. Saturdays and 1 p.m. Sundays, only on WFHR, locally grown radio.
Wisconsin Decides 2024, and this is the only place you received election results from across the state live.
And you're responding to our coverage.
I just want to thank you for being there for us.
Wisconsin is not people that are sore losers.
Oh, no matter what happens, there will be a tomorrow, and that's what I'm looking forward to.
Here for you after the election or any time.
Real news and great conversation on 97.5 WFHR and the Civic Media app. Maggie Dawn.
Matt Rothschild guest hosts the Maggie Dawn Show, and he'll be joined by Terry Barr for what's good local and overlooked in Wisconsin.
The Maggie Dawn Show, weekday afternoons from 2 till 4.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
Good morning. Welcome. Welcome back to Matinair on Air. Jane Matinair, Greg Bach, and Calvin coming to you from our studio at Radio Park here in Racine, Wisconsin. You can always join us. Call or text. The number is the same. 855-752-4842. Leave a comment if you're watching on the live stream on Facebook, YouTube, and the platform that used to be Twitter. We are excited that Joe Zepecki could make some time for us. I know you have a lot going on. Joe Zepecki, political consultant and friend of the show. Tuesday was not the day that we hoped.
No, it was not. But we fight on.
We fight on. Absolutely. I thought Kamala Harris gave a beautiful and gracious concession speech yesterday. And we did start off the show with that. And I think it behooves all of us to listen to it and take her message to heart.
Yeah. I understand that lots of people are feeling lots of ways this week, and I'm one of them.
And you need to, and it's okay to feel. It's okay to feel those feelings.
And absolutely. And if you're able to, and you're in a moment when you're not feeling those feels, check in on your people. Be there for whatever your community is, whatever your found family, in addition to your actual family, is. That's what we have to do to one another. And I can think of no better way to honor what Jonathan Brostoff did for a large community than to make sure that we're all doing that. And I am by nature an optimist, and I want to bring a little sunshine. We can hold competing thoughts in our heads at the same time. We can be very concerned, gravely concerned, about what's going to happen in our national politics and what happens when Donald Trump walks back into the White House, while also celebrating the fact that Tammy Baldwin is going back to the United States Senate. Wisconsin Democrats swept the competitive state Senate seats and picked up a lot of seats in the state assembly, which creates a clear path to state power after the 2026 elections. And those are all good, positive developments. And they tell me that campaigns matter, and what the left has built in Wisconsin matters. You know, just as a brief detour, I'm seeing some people say campaigns don't matter. Malarkey. When you look at what happened in Illinois and New Jersey and, you know, New York and places where there was not a statewide campaign, where there is not infrastructure like we have here in Wisconsin, those states' votes moved a hell of a lot more than Wisconsin's did at the presidential level, which was a total swing of 60,000 votes, right? I mean, Trump lost you by 30,000 votes 4 years ago. He won by 30,000 votes this time. And all of those Democratic victories I just told you, and the fact that we were able to hold that margin close, tells me that we have built something pretty special here in Wisconsin. And so I'm not here for blow it up, tear it down, start all over again, when there's not any evidence I've seen that that's what needs to happen. And we can hold that thought in our head while also holding in our head that we always need to be learning and assessing what happened and why it happened and trying to get more information. That is how high-functioning organizations work, whether they're selling pretzels or running statewide campaigns. And that's what we're going to do. But I hope that even those who are really feeling it and in it this week, who have been part of these fights, understand and recognize that we have a lot of opportunity ahead of us. And as the vice president said yesterday, times like these are, in fact, a time to roll up your sleeves and get to work. And if you can't get there this week and you can't get there next week, then we'll see you in December.
Yes.
Right. But We've got important stuff coming up very, very soon. And we've got, you know, to be ready for the fights to come. And that's where I'm at this week. And I've not been able to listen much, but I hope that you guys are in similar places. And if not, talk to me and I'll get you to a better place. That's what we're here to do, right?
Absolutely.
Well, and I think we just had Tanya Atkinson from Planned Parenthood Advocates of Wisconsin on, and I completely agree with you. Take the time you need to process and move forward. But remember this, the effects are happening immediately. they're making their moves. So we got to make our moves, and we got to be prepared. And I completely agree with you. Malarkey, campaigns should not be done away with. I've seen the beauty of energetic campaigns and the joy and the excitement they bring. And in a place like Wisconsin, Joe, you are absolutely right. Built to campaign. And yeah. I don't see an alternative. You want to tear down campaigns? Give me three viable options. I'll listen to you. None of them will be as good. Thank you. Goodbye.
I just think people would like to see campaigns not go on for so long.
I don't disagree. Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean,
that's one of the questions that we do need to wrestle with, right? Is like, on the one hand, in 107 days, Kamala Harris was able to do something extraordinary in terms of raising that amount of money, making that that level of investment, hitting all of the marks, doing all of the blocking and tackling basic campaign stuff that we've come to sort of know, understand, and appreciate if you're in my line of work for a very long time. And she did almost all of them flawlessly, right? Yeah. And at the same time, does that mean that a shorter campaign is better? I don't know. There are some global political forces at play here that we should inject into the conversation, which is that over the course of the last year, around the world, every single incumbent political party has been thrown out on their keister.
Yes.
And when you actually look at the performance of the Democratic Party in America, second best performance in spite of that. Now, is that all because of Kamala Harris? Probably not. Is it all because of how uniquely awful Donald Trump is? Probably not. It's probably a little bit of both, right? Little column A, little column B. Little column C, that Democrats and Joe Biden were able to get a lot of stuff done in, 4 years, from bipartisan wins on the CHIPS Act to revitalize American technology manufacturing, and the first gun safety legislation in 30 years. Like, those are all things that voters tell us all the time.
Yes.
That they want.
Yes.
Right? Is for the parties to work together. Yeah. And do stuff like infrastructure and to lower the cost of prescription drugs. Republicans didn't want to work with us on that one, and so Democrats got it done anyways. And so in spite of all of those individual policy things that happened, the global headwinds were just too much. And that's okay. And again, it doesn't mean all is lost, and it doesn't mean that all is fine either. This is a dynamic environment, and we have to continually learn, grow, and adapt to that. I think I saw somewhere like 11 of the last 13 election cycles, so every 2 years, like the last 26 years, the American people have seemed to suggest they're looking for change. That's a pretty tumultuous, turbulent time to be alive.
Most definitely. Before we got on the air, Greg and I were talking about that, too. When Donald Trump was first elected in 2016, in the midterms, 2 years later, that's when the Democrats took the House.
Mm-hmm.
And so I would suggest that people look.
And the Senate.
And the Senate, right. And so I would suggest that people look forward to the next fight in 2 years. Because, again, this is going to continue. Our election season, our elections will continue. Life will continue. The sun is going to rise. And it's a matter of what we do with this energy and what we do with our anxiety to put it into action. Don't give up the fight.
Amen.
But as you said too, Joe, folks need to take as long as they need. If 3 days isn't enough, if the weekend isn't long enough, if you need a week or 2 weeks or a month to just check out and get reoriented, then do that. Mm-hmm. You should do that, and you shouldn't feel badly about it.
I'm not going to feel bad about it when I take my wife on a vacation next week.
As you should.
Week after that.
Yeah.
And the one, okay, I'm scrambling for bright spots here, but I will say this. This made me laugh. Robin Voss, of course, Speaker of the Assembly, Speaker Robin
and
Voss.
And Popcorn King.
And Popcorn King. Talking about their wins on Tuesday. In the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel, Robin Voss says, "So we have won under every scenario possible. Democrats have only made gains when they have gerrymandered districts." That made me spit coffee out of my nose. It was just like, Robin's going to whine now about gerrymandering? That is just priceless.
Yeah. Yeah. No, I mean, I think one of the stories of Tuesday is when you have fairer maps, you have better outcomes, right? Which is more competitive races, and some of them fall one way and some of them fall the other way. And that's the way it should be, right? Like, a narrow statewide Republican win should not mean that they get 64 seats in the assembly. And Robin Voss can be really sad that that's his reality. I actually should go back and look, or somebody should, that when you look at the difference between 2016, when Trump narrowly won, and what Republicans got in the assembly that year, as opposed to 2024 under the new fairer maps. But I'm guessing you're going to see quite a difference. And that's how it should be, right? Like, if you get a Tammy Baldwin or Barack Obama 2008 level wipeout statewide, that can carry a lot of legislative races with you. And when these races are decided by a point or less, which is where it looks like, you know, I mean, Trump's not even at 50 in the state, right? It's like 49 and change to 48 and change.
Right.
That is not an overwhelming mandate, supermajority generating like statewide vote. It's just not. We lived in divided times on Monday, and we're living in divided times today. And now the state legislature comes a little bit closer to reflecting that.
Tammy Baldwin made her acceptance speech. Has Eric Hovde conceded yet?
I don't think so.
Is he waiting for his goodbye Kringle?
Yeah.
I mean, Donald Trump still hasn't conceded the 2020 election, and Kamala Harris called him yesterday, and Joe Biden called him yesterday. So, I wish this was a time and a place where Republicans had a little more grace, but they don't. And I the other part of thing I haven't shared that I want to just point out to folks is, like, this was not a foregone conclusion. And the reason I know that is I read Tim Alberta's piece in the Atlantic over the weekend, demonstrating how clearly the knives were out inside the Trump campaign and how distraught they were, convinced that their candidate had cost them the election, despite the best efforts of the campaign. And when you look at the Tuesday afternoon stuff from Donald Trump alleging fraud in Philadelphia.
Oh, yeah.
They were nervous as hell. They had no doubt. They had no certainty that they were going to win at all, much less that it was going to be clear enough by, you know, Wednesday morning as it was. And so there aren't a lot of certainties. The Republicans can, you know, they can claim their flowers and, you know, boast and whine like Robin Voss if they want. That's fine. They won this time. They get to do that. But I would just caution my friends on that side, like, don't overread it, because things change.
Well, and one of the things I've been looking at is the numbers purely on the votes itself. And speaking on the terms of it's not really a mandate, he has not even reached the number of votes this year that he got in 2020. So I don't know if you want to call it fatigue. I mean, this is no disrespect to those we've lost. Some of those supporters are gone now, whether it be COVID, age, or whatever. But it isn't an overwhelming nationwide send him to the White House 1984 Reagan mandate. It's an election. We had an election. It didn't go the way we wanted it to go, which means we have to fight harder in 2 and 4 years. But yeah, we have to have that clear in our brains. He's not the shining king they all think that he likes to think he is.
Well, and again, go ahead, Joe.
I was just saying, let me see if I can squeeze in a funny story here before the break that my Republican friends should remember, which is that after the 2008 elections in Wisconsin, where Donald Trump won where Barack Obama won and carried Democrats to majorities in the assembly and the legislature, the Wisconsin State Journal had a front page, full page story the next day. Is Wisconsin forever blue was the question, with a big map of the state. And it was like overwhelmingly blue.
Yep.
And the fallacy of that, of course, is 2 years later, Democrats wiped out and we haven't been in control since. So careful counting your chickens before they hatch, my Republican friends.
Joe Zepecki is here. We're going to wrap things up with him right after this very brief interlude. Stay with us. You're listening to Matt Nair on Air. This is the Civic Media Radio Network.
Oh, You're listening to locally grown radio, WFHR, home for Up North News Radio.
Hi, this is Beth, your new host for The Kitchen is Open, the award-winning show within the morning show. Each Monday morning at 9 a.m., we'll tackle topics, teach techniques, and tell you what to do or not to do when it comes to cooking or the kitchen. I'll also bring you interviews with local chefs and restaurant owners with insight on what it takes to make it in the food industry. Listen as I work with James, Seth, and others as we learn, laugh, and have fun. The Kitchen is Open. Same kitchen, new host.
The Dom Salvia Show.
I had somebody recently in one of the classes I was teaching saying to me, I don't do politics, Mr. Santel. I don't spend all my time watching MSNBC and reading the opinion columns. I get that.
You might not do politics, but sooner or later, politics is going to do you. Yeah. You got to have some basic level of understanding of what government is about and how it functions and a little bit of the history of it.
You need to do enough.
The Dom Salvia Show. Weekdays from 4 till 6 on the Civic Media Radio Network and on the Civic Media app.
Doctors Without Borders is delivering life-saving medical care where it's needed most in communities around the world. From bandaging war-wounded patients in Sudan to providing clean drinking water in Haiti, we're in more than 70 countries worldwide, bringing patients from sick to recovering, from emergency to aid, from crisis to care. This life-saving care is made possible by a global movement of supporters like you. Thank you.
The Todd Alba Show.
Brady joining us live via phone.
I tell the guys before every game, and honestly try to do it before every practice, challenge is going to come. This team is not just going to show up and allow us to walk all over them and win. Really what matters is how are we going to respond to that? And if you can adapt and use it as a learning opportunity, it's going to set you up to go accomplish darn near anything you want to.
I think there are a lot of people that need to hear that message today.
The Todd Alba Show. Weekdays, noon till 2 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app.
You're listening to locally grown radio, WFHR, Rapids' home of Nightlight with Peach Schwabba.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
Good morning. Welcome back to Matinair on Air. Jane Matinair, Greg Bach, Calviente on the board. Coming to you from our studio at Radio Park here in Racine. You can join us. Call or text 855-752-4842. Leave a comment if you're watching in the live stream on Facebook, YouTube, and the platform that used to be Twitter. Joe Zepecki is here, political consultant. Joe, I wanted to share this text we got from Mike in Green Bay listening on WGBW. I want to thank you for your post-election shows. It's helping a lot of people, including myself. Thank you, Mike. We're trying. One quick question. I work a ton of hours. I figured out last night that without overtime, my income will be around 40% less. My family can't survive if that's going to happen. Are they truly thinking about not requiring employers to pay overtime? That is a part of Project 2025, isn't it, Joe?
Yeah, there is a lot in there that could be very, very bad for a lot of people. And Donald Trump may not be a conventional politician who can be moved. There's a lot of reason to believe that he's somebody who just listens to the last person who talked to him. And that makes it a very difficult environment in which to organize. However, Ron Johnson is more conventional than Donald Trump is. Tony Weed and Scott Fitzgerald and Brian Stile and even Derek Van Orden are all more conventional than Donald Trump is. And so what we have to make sure we're ready to go for and to engage on are these potential fights, so that if there are parts, like there are parts of Project 2025, Donald Trump will be able to do and try to do by executive order. I don't believe that outlawing overtime pay is one of those things. And so you need to talk to your members of Congress, whether you voted for them or not. You need to, you know, advocate for the things that you believe in. And I believe that we are still in a place where that is going to make a difference. I share people's concerns that we have moved at least a step or two away from a representative, you know, democracy, a constitutional republic, if the worst version of Donald Trump inhabits the Oval Office. That is more in play than any of us really want to admit. But these things are not these transitions away from constitutional republic, you know, representative democracies are never the flip of a switch. It's never gone one day, you know, here one day, gone the next. And so what I would ask everybody to remember and to get ready for is to fight to preserve what we have for as long as we are able, starting with people's economic self-interest. And I don't think for us, like, I think it sounds really good for Republicans to, on their podcasts within the bro hive, to talk about repealing every single thing that Joe got done. But I think for business leaders in this country, there are parts of the Inflation Reduction Act, for example, that make a lot of sense for them, who they are not going to want to see that rolled back. And so that's all to come. And that's why I'm trying to bring the optimism and encourage people to, whenever you're able to, dust yourself off and get back up. That's, you know, the old line from one of the Christopher Nolan Batmans, right? Why do we fall? So we can get back up. And that's what we're going to have to figure out a way to do, folks.
And just as a reminder, that's a great point you bring up, Joe, with regard to the businesses who benefit from the Infrastructure and Inflation Reduction Act. Is, we spoke to James Vanderloo 2 weeks ago, and he works with manufacturers, and he said that if these tariffs that Trump has been talking about forever now, if they come into play, he's going to be on the phone with companies from Wisconsin who have businesses outside the country on how to relocate because of these tariffs causing them such distress on their bottom line. So these have definite impacts. And as you were saying, take your time, but we're already starting to see the effects of what's going to happen in a second Trump term.
Well, keep myvote.wi.gov handy, because that has the names and phone numbers of all of your elected representatives. And now that they don't have quite the majority here in Wisconsin that they used to, they might actually have to answer their phones and respond to your phone calls, whether they like it or not. Be nice. We always encourage you to be polite, but call them. Mm-hmm. And again, now they don't have quite the control that they had before. So let's take advantage of our power. Let's do something with it. And I know for us here at Civic Media, and certainly my show, we're going to continue watching these things, telling you the facts as these things happen, and doing our best to hold people accountable.
Mm-hmm. Hear, hear. Yeah. Listen, we got the fairer maps. We picked up seats. That's steps one and two on what was always a three-step plan. Third step is, it's got to lead to better governance outcomes. I think there are going to be more Republicans come January in the state legislature in Wisconsin who feel compelled to deal and work with, you know, the Democratic minority and the Democratic governor to try to get to a better place on some things, because they saw what happened to Dewey Strobel, right? Somebody who's been very conservative, has refused to work with Democrats, and he just lost. And so I think there will be, that was always the end goal behind a new map system, is to try to lead to better policy outcomes. Those tend to come when the two sides are more willing to work together. There's been no incentive structure for Republicans to work with Democrats for the last basically 14 years at the legislative level. We appear to have rectified that. Now we just got to see what it means for us going through the state budget on things like Medicaid expansion, etc. But I see real reason for optimism there.
Joe Zepecki, political consultant, thank you so very, very much, Joe. Take care of yourself. Enjoy your time away and relax. Thank you, Greg and Calvin, all of our engineers. Without you, nothing works. Thank you most of all for calling and texting and listening. It absolutely means the world. I hope you find some joy today, even if it's just a little bit, and you have the chance to share it. Stay right here. News is next. You're listening to the Civic Media Radio Network. We will be back tomorrow. Hope you'll join us.
You're listening to locally grown radio, WFHR. Jane Matinair and Greg Bach.
Coming up on the show, we will be recombobulating yet again with Dan Schaefer. Lots of stuff to process yet. I hope you will join us.
Matinair on air, weekday mornings at 10.
Max Inc. on Civic Media, live in the lair with Kaylin Cole.
Have you ever walked away from a karaoke performance thinking, yeah,
That was a lot better than the original person.
Oh my gosh. I don't know if I should admit that or not.
I think he's right. Because now I know. Now we know there's a song.
Jimmy's talking on it now.
I know. Oh, you're going to get me in trouble, Jimmy.
It's live in the lair. Grab the podcast now at MaxIncRadio.com and listen live on Saturday nights, 6 to midnight, across the Civic Media Radio Network.
This is your local Civic Media radio station. Want to hear even more? Anytime? Find all of it at civicmedia.us. This is locally grown radio.
WFHR 1320 AM. W248 DE Wisconsin Rapids.
And always streaming on the Civic Media app.